In September, a federal report on misconduct in the Alaska National Guard was released, and since then, it's been an open question as to why long-running allegations of cronyism, fraud, and the mishandling of sexual assault reporting didn't result in reform sooner. News outlets, including Alaska Public Media, have sued the Parnell administration for access to records that could provide insight into their response. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez has been reporting on this issue, and she joins us here today to talk about what we know and what we don't know at this point. Hello, Alexandra.
Hi, Lori.
Alexandra, the Attorney General released more than 1,000 pages of emails concerning the Alaska National Guard this weekend. Was there anything illuminating in there?
For the most part, not really. Hundreds of pages were totally redacted. A good chunk wasn't germane to the request at all. Some complaints about the National Guard's leadership are included, and those are interesting. Some are signed, some are anonymous, some are reasoned, some are totally vitriolic, and they came in waves and spurts from about 2010 to present day.
Have we learned about how the administration responded to them?
The documents don't tell us a lot of specifics in this regard, especially because they're so heavily redacted. But they do show the Office of the Governor discussing allegations on a regular basis and communicating frequently with whistleblowers. A lot of the emails are to or from Mike Nizek, Governor Parnell's chief of staff. He rarely gives interviews, but I sat down with him for 45 minutes to talk about when the administration started hearing about trouble in the Guard and what it did about it. He outlined the chronology of the response and supplied copies of some of the investigation reports that they tracked through the years, and some that I hadn't seen before. The first contact with an investigating agency was October 2010, which was actually before any National Guard chaplains had made serious contact with the Office of the Governor. Nizek made a visit to the FBI then after two whistleblowers reached out to him with serious allegations about drug smuggling and gun running. He stressed it's pretty serious and unusual for the governor's chief of staff to report a commissioner to the FBI. Obviously, that would have serious implications if the person were found to be in the wrong. But a few weeks later, he was told there wasn't anything to it. In 2012, there was a National Guard Bureau inquiry into sexual assault response that was called by Senator Mark Begich. That came up dry. Then another aide to Parnell, Nancy Dahlstrom, says she again went to the FBI that same year, and again, nothing. In 2013, the U.S. Army Inspector General Agency looked into a complaint that then Adjutant General Thomas Katkus covered up sexual assaults, and they cleared him. There was also a review by the Secretary of the Army, another Army Inspector General review, and a Department of Defense inquiry called by Senator Lisa Murkowski, and none of them found any problems. Nizek described it like chasing ghosts.
Alexandra, did the fact that there were consistent complaints raise any questions about keeping Katkus in a position of leadership, even if the investigations were coming up dry?
I ask that because it seems like at a minimum, the sheer volume and persistence of complaints would indicate that Katkus was a divisive figure and that there was a low level of morale for at least some of the ranks. Nizek said that the administration understood that Katkus was making some changes that not everybody necessarily liked, but that because Katkus kept on getting a, you know, clean bill of health, so to speak, they had to trust him.
Did he have an explanation for why the administration hasn't been more forthcoming with the documents?
So, Lori, one of the interesting things about this whole crisis in confidence in the National Guard's leadership and the governor's response to it is it seems like there's two components. There's the governor's private response. And on the most skeptical end of the spectrum, one could say that they're controlling the release of documents. There's a lot redacted. And there's still a lot that they're holding on to. And on the most trusting end, you take the administration at face value. And without all the information, which we may never get, it's hard to figure out where we fall on that continuum. Then there's the public response to the National Guard's troubles that kind of relate back to the upsetting report that came out back in September. It described all of this awful stuff without naming perpetrators or quantifying the number of victims or the extent of fraud. With all of these open questions, it shouldn't be surprising that the public and the press wanted more answers. And without the administration providing that information, that raises a whole question of why. Nizek says the reason for that was part logistical and part legal. They'd had a lot of voluminous requests before concerning Senate candidate Dan Sullivan's emails and the Parnell administration's decision not to expand Medicaid. And that there were a lot of privileges that they expected that these documents would fall under, which we're seeing right now with the number of redactions that are included. But if all this information had been released, you know, even just weeks earlier, we might at this point have a clear understanding of just how effectively the administration responded to this.
All right. Thank you so much for that update, Alexandra.
Thank you, Lori.
That was APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reporting in Anchorage.